Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org. Edition of Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Duke Brooks here. Thanks very much for being along. You may join the chat room, and the number, as always, is 718-305-7176. Today is a very interesting day in the history of the news. Of course, we will have Talk Radio News Service coming up in a little less than 1 hour at the top of the second hour with Jeff Holtzman from Washington. Today, well, let me read you this. This is from the Washington Examiner by way of Drudge. It's someone named Joel Gerke. I don't know Joel. Don't even know if I've read anything he's written before. However, the House Ways and Means Committee Republicans aren't ruling out the use of the chamber's inherent contempt authority if Attorney General Eric Holder refuses to act on the panel's accusations against former IRS official Lois Lerner. The committee voted Wednesday to seek an investigation of whether Lerner violated federal law by using her power to ensure right-leaning groups were targeted for extra scrutiny by the agency, giving misleading information during the probe of the matter by the Treasury Department's Inspector General, and using her personal email to conduct official business, which could have resulted in the disclosure of confidential taxpayer information. The Ways and Means Committee, this is a quote now from John Boehner, the Ways and Means Committee, led by Chairman David Camp of Michigan, has conducted a serious and thorough investigation of the IRS, uncovering abuses and criminal acts that should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, unquote. Quoting Boehner again, as I've said, if Lois Lerner continues to refuse to testify, then the House will hold her in contempt, and we will continue to shine the light on the administration's abusive actions and use every tool at our disposal to expose the truth and ensure the American people get the answers they deserve, unquote. Among those tools is the House's inherent contempt authority under the U.S. Constitution, which was initially exercised in 1795 during the first Congress and on multiple occasions thereafter. Lerner could be held until January 2015 when a new Congress is seated, which could issue another subpoena and throw her in the clink again if she still balks at testifying. This is a quote from Congressman Kevin Brady, a Texas Republican on the Ways and Means Committee. Quote, I think we'll deal with that should that occur, but I think this too is an ongoing investigation, and frankly, for the Attorney General to turn a blind eye to this evidence would discredit him greatly, unquote. Kevin Brady told that to this Washington Examiner writer when he was asked if the House would take that step if Holder refused to take the case. He went on to say, this is a very thorough, deliberate investigation. This congressional referral is commonplace when we find evidence of wrongdoing from the legislative branch. Unquote. Congressman Brady faulted the Justice Department for having failed so far to pursue wrongdoing charges against Lerner. Quote, the Department of Justice prematurely claimed and announced that it would not be pursuing wrongdoing charges, which tells me that they are at this point not taking the investigation seriously, unquote. But Brady, when asked to rule out the idea of the House using the inherent contempt doctrine against Lerner, chose not to do so. quote, let's hope the Attorney General does his job, end quote, he said. Another panel member, Representative Tom Price, a Georgia Republican, said it's, quote, premature to talk about the House arresting Lerner. Quote, at this point, we hope the Attorney General does his job. Unquote, said Tom Price. Liberal organizations, including the New York Times, called for Congress to use that power in 2007 during the presidency of George W. Bush when the legislature was controlled by Democrats. Quote, inherent contempt is important, unquote, Adam Cohen wrote. Quote, the Bush administration has been acting as if only the executive branch matters. There is a simple way to avoid a constitutional showdown. If Congress holds witnesses in contempt, the Justice Department should enforce the subpoenas. Now, I have not read the New York Times in a long time. I don't think I've had a copy of the New York Times inside my home since my parakeet died, and that was in 1975 or something, I don't know. But I can virtually guarantee you that if the Congress this time uses its inherent contempt authority, as Adam Cohen, an editorialist at the New York Times, suggested 7 years ago, I can guarantee you that the New York Times this go around will say that the Congress should not be using this authority. It is not the Congress that matters. It is the executive branch that matters. The New York Times will be in high dudgeon, absolutely bent out of shape, as will every liberal in the country, if Lois Lerner is held in contempt. Now, it's not so much, yes, I want Lois Lerner to be questioned. I want her to be forced to answer the questions. If she refuses to, I want her to be imprisoned until she answers or, you know, until she is put on trial for violations of the United States Criminal Code. I believe it's called Title 18. Somebody get John Brady on the phone. Title 18 of the United States Code is the criminal code, although there are criminal violations in virtually every part of the U.S. Code, including Title 4, which is the title of the U.S. Code that governs the usage and display of the American flag. However, not being fair with people at the IRS, showing favoritism at the IRS, using the enforcement authority of the IRS in a manner that is politically motivated, these are all violations of the code of the United States. These are criminal violations. You are not supposed to do those things. If the American people come to believe that the IRS is no longer an objective and credible agency in terms of even-handed prosecution of people that have either violated the tax code in one way or another, or people who have applied to the IRS for either exemptions or status in one way or another, and the basis of it is, well, if you are a member of a particular type of political party or movement, we are not going to give you the same kind of treatment that people from another political party or movement are getting. Those are criminal violations. There isn't any question about that. Apparently, Lois Lerner was the one that was in charge of this. She wanted to ensure that he did receive the 503 or 514 status that liberal groups were able to get with the Barack Hussein Obama Foundation. Okay. This is an article from Washington Post, also via Drudge. I use Drudge a lot. You know, it's, frankly, I think that it's credible. I don't, you know, I'm not going to use Huffington. I read Huffington Post a fair amount. I think that Huffington Post obviously is just a bunch of leftists. That Arianna Huffington obviously is not even an American. I have no idea what her deal is. I think she probably ought to be thrown out. This is from the Washington Times by Stephen Dynan. Even as the IRS faces growing heat over Lois G. Lerner and the Tea Party targeting, a government watchdog said Wednesday senior tax agency employees and offices suspected of illegal political activity in support of President Obama and fellow Democrats. In one case, the Office of Special Counsel, which investigates fees, here for a moment, Government Times said it was common in a Dallas IRS office for employees to have pro-Obama screensavers on their computers and to have campaign-style buttons and stickers at their office. In another case, a worker at the tax agency's I'm sorry about that, folks. I'm you know, when you go to some of these websites, you get commercial after commercial after commercial, and you have to turn them down. I'm one at a time. I'm sorry about that. In another case, a worker at the tax agency's customer helpline urged taxpayers, quote, to reelect President Obama in 2012 by repeatedly reciting a chant based on his last name, unquote, the Office of Special Counsel. OSC said it is seeking significant disciplinary action against that employee. I'm going to break away from the article for a moment. Let me tell you about what is significant disciplinary action against an employee of the United States federal government. That would be a letter placed in the employee's file that says, you did something you were not supposed to do. Do not do it again. I mean, the fact of the matter is that is the extent of what the federal government considers to be significant discipline of one of its employees. Look, the fact of the matter is, if you are a United States government employee, you can do anything you want. You know, if you're below the level of somebody like Lois Lerner, you don't have anything to worry about. Not show up for work. You can take it easy. You can use taxpayer-issued charge cards to do anything you want. It's unbelievable. We at conservativenationmedia.com start off the work week every Monday in a day. It's called Inside Texas. But even if you're not from the frontier state, the issues that affect Tennessee are all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check it out. It's brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America, in fact, always wins. I hope America wins in this particular because, you know, if the IRS is allowed to basically weaponize itself, we've got some very, very serious problems here. That will pretty much be the end. I mean, it seems to me even the United States Congress is afraid of the IRS. Picking up from where we were a moment ago, where the Office of Special Counsel said it is seeking significant disciplinary action against that employee. another IRS employee in Kentucky has agreed to serve a 14-day suspension for blasting Republicans in a conversation with a taxpayer. Quote, they're going to take women back 40 years, unquote, the IRS employee said in a conversation that was recorded. The employee also said that, quote, if you vote for a Republican, the rich are going to get richer and the poor are going to get poorer, unquote. That employee went on to tell the taxpayer she knew she wasn't supposed to be voicing her political opinions and asked the taxpayer. In the Dallas situation, the OSC issued a letter to employees reminding them they aren't allowed to do anything that would appear to be campaigning. Quote, specifically, it was alleged that employees have worn partisan political stickers, buttons, and clothing to work and have displayed partisan political screensavers on their IRS computers. It was alleged that these items expressed support for President Barack Obama, the Office of Special Counsel said. The IRS issued a statement saying it couldn't comment on specifics, but vowing it took complaints of politicking seriously. Quote, the IRS regularly reminds employees of the Hatch Act guidelines, the agency said, adding that when reports of potential violations are received, the agency follows, quote, proper procedures and protocols, unquote. Republicans on Capitol Hill, though, said the report showed an agency that's out of control. Quote, it's no surprise that this is coming from the very same agency that targeted Americans based on their political beliefs, said Representative Sam Johnson, a Texas Republican. Quote, how can the American people trust IRS employees to perform their job duties in good faith? Unquote. Well, I think that that's actually a pretty fair question. I don't think that the IRS has any credibility anymore. The IRS has decided apparently to weaponize itself, and I'm very happy to see that the Congress is actually beginning to get some spine in this issue. Anyway, we are about 17 minutes or so after the hour. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America, in fact, always wins. Time for a quick break. More coming up. Don't go away.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Monday, Monday, so good to me.
righty, welcome back. And, of course, it is not a Monday, it is a Wednesday, but earlier today I was on a local radio station in a place called Milford, Delaware, with a, I was going to say a lifelong friend, not really a lifelong friend. Her name is Susan Monday. She goes by the name of Sumo. And Susan and I were particular friends back in the mid-1990s when we both worked at the same radio station. And I was on the air with her today because there, as you may know, I'm spokesman for my local county Republican committee, the Sussex Republican Committee in Delaware, and there is a kerfluffle that is going on. There's some kind of an issue that is taking place now, and you know, I really like to get out in front of these things as the mouthpiece. Well, wait a minute, that's like a term for a lawyer, isn't it? As the spokesman, you know, for the committee. And it was good to be on the air with Susan. I think that she didn't really handle things when we got a couple of sort of anti-Republican callers the way I would have liked, but at the end of the day, it is not my show. Her show is not my show. This one is, and the number here is 718-305-7176. We have been talking about Lois Lerner, the IRS, and the way the IRS has been behaving. You know, at the end of the day, it's a bunch of government employees, and many of which are people that have very aggressive, sometimes downright hostile personalities. They simply don't like other people. But in any event, reading an article from the this is online from the Washington Times, and let's see, that it is, this is today's Washington Times. The Federal Hatch Act prohibits most government employees from conducting politics on government time. The Office of the Special Counsel is charged with looking into those violations. The accusations come as the IRS is still facing tough questions from House Republicans over its targeting of conservative groups seeking nonprofit status. This is just a, you know, federal government employees pretty much in the Washington, Baltimore, and there are a few government employees with. They're all retired now, I guess, but continuing on, here on Wednesday, the Ways and Means Committee voted to approve a resolution officially referring Ms. Lerner, the IRS during the targeting, to the Justice Department for criminal prosecution. The resolution, which was approved on a party line, 23 vote, and now goes to the full House for action, presumably next month. Mrs. Lerner, or Ms. Lawyer William W. Taylor the third, ooh, William W. Taylor, I guess, I wonder if they called him Billy Three Sticks, you know, issued a statement Wednesday morning questioning the committee's plans and calling the timing, quote, odd. Quote, we have not heard from the House Ways and Means Committee, nor has the committee previously issued a report of its findings, unquote, Mr. Billy Three Sticks Taylor said. He also said the committee's referral would be meaningless since the Justice Department is already investigating the IRS over targeting. This is just another attempt by Republicans to vilify Ms. Lerner for political gain, unquote, Mr. Taylor said. He went on to say, Ms. Lerner has done nothing wrong. She did not violate any law or regulation. She did not mislead Congress. She did not interfere with the rights of any organization to a tax exemption. Those are the facts. Oh, well, maybe it will Don't Get Dark Tonight, Mr. Billy Three Sticks. You know, it is so obvious what they are doing. You cannot have people in enforcement branches of the United States government that are politically motivated. Mug called On the Money, which is from Morton Kondracki's publication called that is not named after a movie with Sean Connery, that is named after Capitol Hill. Lois Lerner, the former IRS official at the center of the agency's Tea Party controversy, potentially getting a job at an offshoot of President Obama's campaign, according to newly released documents. This is by Bernie Becker. I don't know Bernie. Lerner, discussing organizing for action with colleagues on email in 2013, said, quote, oh, maybe I can get the D.C. office job, unquote. It's unclear whether Lerner was joking, but one of her colleagues, Sharon Wright, then asked another, Holly Paz, if Lerner was considering retirement. Organizing for Action is a political advocacy group that was formed from the remnants of Obama's campaign. The House Ways and Means Committee referenced the email chain in its letter to Attorney General Eric Holder today, in which Republicans urged the Justice Department to investigate whether Lerner should be prosecuted for the crimes. Committee Chairman Dave Camp, the Michigan Republican, and fellow Republicans say Lerner sought to deny tax-exempt status to Crossroads GPS, the group linked to Karl Rove, which played an outsized role in the 2010 and 2012 campaigns. Republicans insist that Lerner's actions against Crossroads were, quote, aggressive and improper, unquote, and they make the case that the former IRS official showed no such interest in liberal-leaning groups like Organizing for Action, despite concerns from campaign finance reform groups. The Ways and Means Committee letter also accuses Lerner of misleading federal investigators and mishandling confidential taxpayer info. The Justice Department, which already has an open investigation in the IRS, will make the final decision about whether to prosecute Lerner. There is, in fact, an inspection of the United States Capitol building on Capitol Hill. There is a brig. And that brig, I believe, was last used at some point around World War I. A congressman, challenged the Sedition and Espionage Act of 1918, which actually, I think, went into effect in 1917. And strangely, I mean, weirdly, it was upheld by the Supreme Court. Basically, what this law said was that you are not allowed to criticize federal government participation against the Kaiser in World War I. And apparently, thousands upon thousands of Americans were arrested. The post office did not mail to people, subscribers presumably, publications, magazines, newspapers, periodicals, etc., whose editorial policies were contrary to Democrat President Woodrow Wilson's policy of sending our boys, our doughboys, over there to fight the Kaiser in France and Europe. And the Supreme Court upheld it. At that time, I think I may have once mentioned that I was going to check and see for you how many justices of the Supreme Court, of that Supreme Court, had been veterans of Civil War combat. And Sadly, I have not done that. Oliver Wendell Holmes was one of them. And Oliver Wendell Holmes, if I recall, wrote a particularly emotional and scathing opinion concurring with the majority. And he said something to the effect of, if somebody thinks that they're going to be able to criticize our actions in this war, they had better not monkey about with it. And for somebody who was a combat veteran, I think I can understand where Mr. Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes was coming from. I think it is about 31 minutes after the hour on Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. We're talking about these IRS things and this incredible Lois Lerner. Just when you think you've heard everything, along comes those leftists in D.C. to pull something else. They're going to keep on doing it until we, the people, run them out of town on a rail, and I think we're getting ready to do just that right now, thank goodness. But what about in the meantime? What are you going to do to protect your family, your property, and your sacred American rights when the leftists try to, quote, redistribute food and who knows what else in the name of what they call social justice? Don't wait for the left to turn our world upside down. Get ready now. Make sure you can provide for your family in an emergency by going to the Patriot Depot, America's best-known warehouse for all your patriotic gear and survival needs. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. You'll find everything from the emergency food supplies to the patriotic gear you'll need today and in the future. That's Patriot Depot at conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Going to take a quick break. Your calls are coming up, so stay right where you are.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course, companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabbyish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable. But how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
It's still on the line.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Meadows, host of Graceland. Join myself and author Curtis Mang on Thursday nights for some common sense conservatism from the soul of the South. That's Graceland from 10 to 11 p.m. Eastern, 9 to 10 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here? You're listening to Duke Books on conservativenationradio.org.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. You know, the Potomac two-step, right? The Washington shuffle. You're in, you're out. Hello, goodbye. And I think Lois Lerner is going to be shuffling off to Club Fed somewhere. You know, I suspect that even if she is convicted, there will be appeals after appeals. I suspect that she will never see the inside of a federal prison unless she's going there to visit somebody. And B, whether she does go to prison or not, she will receive full retirement benefits from the federal government until the day she dies. You know, I tried finding some information about this woman several weeks ago, and it's there is no information on her. I don't know if she's married. I don't know where she's from. I've been able to find absolutely no information whatsoever about Lois Lerner. I am pretty sure that there is a law that protects the identities of federal government employees in certain enforcement units of the federal government. And I guess I kind of think that we need to take another look at that. Let's face the facts. The government is the bad guy. Government is the bad guy. And they are now basically weaponizing enforcement branches of the government for political reasons, just like Stalin, and just like Hitler, and just like Mao, and just like Hugo Chavez, just like all of those famous leftists. And I know you're probably thinking, Hitler, he wasn't a leftist, he was a right-winger. Oh, really? The name of Adolf Hitler's political party was the National Socialist German Workers' Party. That doesn't sound very right-wing to me, but I digress. 718-305-7176 is the number here. This is from the National Review Online. It's by Eliana Johnson. This was filed this afternoon around 4:15. The war between Oversight Committee Chairman Daryl Issa and the committee's ranking member Elijah Cummings rages on. Issa today accused the Maryland Democrat, that would be Cummings, of colluding with the IRS in its targeting of the conservative nonprofit group True the Vote, whose founder, Catherine Engelbrecht, said she received multiple letters from Cummings in 2012 and personal visits from the IRS and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. Engelbrecht's True the Vote is one of the many conservative groups that claims to have been improperly targeted by the IRS while it scrutinized the applications of Tea Party groups. In a letter signed by his 5 subcommittee chairmen, Issa raised the possibility that Cummings coordinated with the IRS, surreptitiously contacting the agency to request information about True the Vote. Emails uncovered in the course of Issa's investigation into the IRS's inappropriate targeting of right-wing groups show that in January 2013, a member of Cummings' staff contacted the IRS asking for any publicly available information on True the Vote. The matter was discussed by IRS officials that included Lois Lerner, the former exempt organization's chief, who retired in the wake of the targeting scandal. One of Lerner's deputies, Holly Paz, subsequently sent the organization's 990 forms to Cummings and his staff. Not an illegal disclosure of taxpayer information, though sources say the exchange of such information was not routine. Let me break away for a moment. If I am not mistaken, Holly Paz was one of the only three people that had been fired by the IRS for their targeting of Tea Party type groups. Continuing now from National Review Online, the correspondence does not indicate whether the IRS's scrutiny of True the Vote's application for tax exemption was prompted by Cummings' inquiries about the group, and the timing of the correspondence suggests it was not, but instead that Cummings may have modeled his inquiries on those the IRS had already made. In February of 2012, Engelbrecht's True the Vote received a letter from the IRS requesting more information about the group. One of Cummings' letters, which Engelbrecht received in October of 2012, contained questions that closely mirrored those posed by the IRS. ISA details them in his letter, strongly implying that Cummings based his letter on the one Engelbrecht had already received from the agency. Both requested information about the software True the Vote was using for voter registration, about the process the group used to train its employees, and about the vendors it used to obtain voter lists. True the Vote's lawyer, Cleta Mitchell, raised this prospect that the minority staff had exchanged information with the IRS at a hearing in February. Quote, "We want to get to the bottom of how these coincidences happened," Mitchell said, "and we're trying to figure out whether any, if there was any staff on this committee that might have been involved in putting True the Vote on the radar screen of some of these federal agencies," unquote. Cummings said in response that Mitchell's tacit allegation was, quote, absolutely incorrect and not true. All right, let me break away for a moment. I met Elijah Cummings one time in Baltimore at a Thanksgiving parade. Elijah Cummings is one of the most profoundly partisan, dedicated, thoroughly left-wing individuals you have ever met in your life. Why don't we go ahead and take a call here. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
Hello?
You're live on Radio Free America, sir or ma'am. Who is this?
Do you have me on the line?
Spooky? Yes, I do, Michael. What's happening, pal? I don't know if you just wanted to listen in because it sounds like you're in your car, or whether you want to make some comment about True the Vote. I understand that Catherine Engelbrecht is from Texas.
Well, yeah, that's what I hear. No, I was just listening in. I wanted to listen to your show. I'm out running some errands, and I wanted to listen to your great show tonight, brother. I just dialed in. I didn't get to hear your whole opening and everything, but yeah, you'll just let me listen in.
Okay, pal. All right. Sorry about that, buddy. All righty. It's always a pleasure to hear from Michael Berryman, who is the founder of our small company, and whose program, The Michael Berryman Show, can be heard every Sunday right here on conservativenationmedia.com. Now then, it is about 18 minutes now before the top of the hour. Actually, we're about 16 minutes before the top of the hour. And I really do need to get some of my information organized here. It should come as no surprise that, number one, I still don't have all my liners and live reads properly organized, but number two, that our U.S. Constitution, obviously, the basis of our nation and the central defining core of our values as Americans, is clearly under attack. Sometimes it seems like everybody and his brother is trying to figure out an end run around the articles and amendments of the greatest governing document of all time. And if you are tired of leftists and unfriendly political forces telling America that our Constitution is just a footnote or a, quote, I love this one, a living document, unquote, be advised that a lot of real Americans like you and like me are going to come together at the Defend the Constitution rally in Waynesboro, Tennessee. It's about an hour southwest of Nashville on the weekend of April 26th. Great speakers like Scotty Nell Hughes. I just saw her a couple of nights ago on Fox News. Karen Vaughn and Joe Carr will be on hand, to name just a few. There's going to be great music, great food. I mean, you know, look, we're talking about Tennessee. How could the music not be great? I mean, come on, we're right outside of Nashville. What do you expect? It's going to be the best music in the world. You never heard of it. And the food in Tennessee? Hey, man. Well, I think the only thing Al Gore has ever said that I agree with is that Memphis and Nashville barbecue is great, and I would agree with that. And I can guarantee you that a pleasant time is guaranteed for all. Go to defendtheconstitutionrally.com to learn more about this great upcoming event. It is on the weekend of April 26th. I do hope to see you there. That is closer than you know. It is really, literally just right around the corner. The time is moving so quickly now. We've got about 13 and a half minutes now before the top of the hour. We have been talking about the IRS scandal. More of your calls and more on Congressman Daryl Issa versus Lois Lerner and the IRS coming up after this, so don't go away.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school. If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Michael Behrman, inviting you to join me every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on The Michael Behrman Show. Right here on conservativenationmedia.com.
ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. About 10 minutes now left in hour number one. The number is 718-305-7176. I'm glad I just checked in to the chat room. I did get a note from someone in there saying that the audio is garbled, too much gain. I was not clear. Now, I will tell you why that is. Yesterday, I took delivery on a Behringer Xenix 1204 USB mixer and an MXL770 microphone and a stand. And, with BTR, you really don't have any way to check your own audio. In theory, I guess one could patch in some headphones or something, next week or maybe. Now I'm being told that I'm fading in and out. Mr. RKC Jr., is that any better? Does it sound a little bit better now? What do you think? Nope. I don't know. Well, we'll see what happens here. The ways to interface one's microphone and blog, internet, radio, podcast system with BTR are kind of limited. So I'm not entirely sure exactly how it sounds. I apologize if it doesn't sound very good, but. Boy, I sure have the best gear imaginable to make it sound good. We'll see what happens. Slightly better, but you are still garbled, he is saying. I'm sorry about that. I wish I knew, exactly what to do about this. Maybe if I turn down the compression a little bit and set the EQ to... Set the equalizers all to... neutral. Let's see what that happens. Now he's saying that's it. All right. Maybe it sounds better. I sure hope that it does. Now he says loud and clear. Mr. Romeo Kilo Charlie, you sir, and I have spoken before. I enjoyed speaking to you, and I would love for you to give me a call. Yeah, 5x5, I guess, huh? The number is 718-305-7176. Going on now again from National Review Online, as we were talking earlier, the ranking member of the House Government Oversight Committee, which is chaired by Daryl Issa, in Washington speak, ranking member means the highest member of the minority party in Congress that serves on a committee. All right. The chairman will, the position of chairman will always be held by a member of the majority party in the House. Likewise in the Senate. The Senate has committees too. The ranking member is going to be from the, other party. That's the way they do things. Okay, now he says that volume is fluctuating, but you're okay. Audible. I'm going to boost a little bit of gain and see what that does. But in any event, they are Congressman Elijah Cummings is the ranking member on this committee. You will remember a couple of weeks ago when he had a bunch of histrionics and the committee hearing was in adjournment and he kept going on about Daryl Issa won't let me speak, and the chairman finally said cut his microphone, which was the right thing to do, no question about it. Issa today seized on the similarities between the two letters, though they were issued before Cummings' staff contacted the IRS. Issa said, although you have previously denied that your staff made inquiries to the IRS about conservative organization True the Vote that may have led to additional agency scrutiny, communication records between your staff and IRS officials, which you did not disclose to majority members or staff, indicates otherwise. As the committee is scheduled to consider a resolution holding Ms. Lerner a participant in responding to your communications that you failed to disclose in contempt of Congress, you have an obligation to fully explain your staff's undisclosed contacts with the IRS, unquote, Chairman Daryl Issa. I met him at CPAC. Seems like a great guy. The Oversight Committee will convene tomorrow morning to vote on whether to hold Lerner in contempt for her refusal to testify before the panel, and House Speaker John Boehner has indicated he will take the matter before the full House. Speaker of the House, John Boehner. Since June of last year, Cummings has pressed ISA to call the investigation off, and the two have repeatedly butted heads. Tomorrow's hearing is unlikely to be an exception. Yeah, go get him. That's right. I really, really hope that that Lois Lerner is held in contempt of Congress. And, you know, look, who would not like to see an IRS manager behind bars? You know, I mean, seriously, who would not like to see that? That's pretty much where we are at this juncture. You know, I think that John Koskinen, is the acting commissioner of the IRS. He was subpoenaed by the committee to turn over all of Lois Lerner's emails. He was ordered to do that, I think, at some point late last summer, last October maybe. We are now 6 months past that. He has not done it. He sat there a week and a half ago and said, well, you know, we've got to very thoroughly redact it. It could take months or years for us to get that. Look, I may have mentioned this last week. What the Congress should do is they should subpoena him back. They should tell him, you have 72 hours. No, you've got 48 hours to... No. How about this? Commissioner Koskinen, it is 9 o'clock this morning. You will not leave this building until we have every email that Lois Lerner either sent, that Lois Lerner received, or on whom Lois Lerner was copied during the period of time that she was employed by the IRS. Mr. Koskinen, you will not leave this building until we have them. I will now have a couple of Capitol Police officers escort you to a room where you will have access to a telephone. You will remain in that room until this committee's staff advises this committee that the emails are coming in. If we do not have all of her emails, you are not going to leave this building, Commissioner Koskinen. And when the committee adjourns, you are going to be taken to the brig in the basement of the Capitol. There you will remain until we have the emails. That is the only thing that's going to get through to these guys. I mean, seriously, it's the only thing that they understand. All right, we are just about to the top of the hour, and that means that it is time for Talk Radio News Service with Jeff Holtzman from Washington. Jeff is a great guy. A little bit of business after that, your calls and more on that corrupt government in D.C. coming up, so don't go away.
Hello. coming to you every hour on the hour. The weather's fine, but there may be a meteor shower.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good evening. For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. The House Ways and Means Committee is accusing former IRS official Lois Lerner of targeting the prominent conservative group Crossroads GPS. On a party-line vote, the committee today sent a criminal referral to Attorney General Eric Holder. The letter to Holder outlining the potential charges says that Lerner recklessly exposed confidential taxpayer information, misled the Inspector General investigating the IRS's improper scrutiny of Tea Party groups, and pushed the agency to only take a deeper look at conservative organizations. House Ways and Means Chairman Dave Camp said that the referral means that lawmakers are standing up to an immensely powerful government agency that can strike the fear of God into average taxpayers. The Ways and Means letter says that Lerner took a particular interest in Crossroads GPS after receiving complaints from campaign finance reform groups like Democracy 21. The letter also says that Lerner pushed to deny the group's application for tax-exempt 501c4 status, and that she showed no such interest in liberal groups despite receiving similar complaints. Lerner's actions could be punishable by up to 11 years in prison, according to House sources. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by FeedThePig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I improved my credit score.
You're kidding, right?
No.
How are we supposed to be the bad boys of electro-synth pop if you're out there being responsible? The band is about to be discovered. This is our year.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while now.
You think anyone in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was worried about their credit score?
I never really thought that.
Of course they weren't. Rock stars aren't supposed to think about that kind of stuff. We're supposed to think about how many guitars we've smashed, write aggressively sensitive power ballads, start questionable fashion trends, tragically break up and blame creative differences.
All right, just... I thought maybe it was time to take control of my finances, you know? Start using a budget. Get out of debt. Set some goals.
A budget? Debt? Set some goals? Listen, I knew that we'd have our creative differences, but I was hoping they'd involve a little more scandal.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Filets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Of course, the mighty Strawberry Alarm Clock and Incense and Peppermints from around 1967, 68, something like that. You know, it's a generational thing. I always really liked that song. Someone has just said in the chat room that it sounds, our stop set sound like 77 WABC Bong in New York. What a compliment, you know, to be told that there's any aspect of this program that sounds like the mighty 77 WABC in New York. You know, I'll take all I can get of that, believe me. I saw myself on television today. Let's put it this way. I have a face for radio. But I can, if I wanted to, I guess I could wear something that Jennifer Meadows and Lisa Richards described on Jennifer's program last night, not Graceland, but Grit and Grace as Meggings, which is leggings worn by a man. I could wear those if most guys could, but I could. Anyway, I digress. In the chat room, one of our listeners mentioned that there is a standoff going on in Nevada now. I didn't have very much time to listen to or watch any news today. I had a very, very busy day. I had to go up to WXDE-FM in Milford and be on the air with Monday up there on this current situation. All right, look. Okay, here's what it is. As you're aware, I'm the spokesman for my local Republican committee. There is a sitting Sussex council member, Sussex County councilman, whose name is Vance Phillips. Vance, I have known for 3 years, actually more than that. It's been, I've known Vance for 5 years, and Vance has always been a nice guy to me. Sadly, a couple of years ago, Vance was up flying in a home-built ultralight, and let me say there is nothing wrong with home-built airplanes. I own one, and they can be a lot of fun if you know what you're doing. Vance went out to Virginia. I think this was his first solo in the airplane. Clearly, Vance was not ready to solo the airplane. Vance had a very, very hard landing. There was a witness there that somebody told me she described it as a crash landing, and sadly, Vance's back was broken. So Vance he's got one of those walkers that he gets around with. On a personal level, I like the guy. All right. Now, before the airplane crash, he was having a protracted affair, is really the only way to describe it, with a girl who at the time, depending upon which story you believe, she was either 17 or 18, had just turned 18, and apparently she met him at a motel over a 2 or 3 month long period, something like 10 or 12 or 14 times. I see you in there, Firefox News Online. How you doing? Thank you for being along, and thank you for listening. Anyway, this went on for a month or two. Vance was married at the time. Vance has lived in Sussex County his whole life. He has been a councilman now for 16 years. This is his fourth four-year term on the council. And the girl is the granddaughter of someone who is a friend of mine from the Republican committee here. And basically, what happened was over a year ago, the state police investigated her claims that this ongoing affair was actually unwelcome and was tantamount to a series of sexual assaults. Now, there are a lot of different factors in this. This may turn out to be a tempest in a teapot. Some of the factors are the fact that in the United States of America, the accused enjoys the presumption of innocence. That means that the burden of proof is on the accuser. All right. In the continental system, like France, Italy, places like that, you are presumed to be Holland. You are presumed to be guilty. You must prove that you're innocent. Well, that is kind of hanging around from the time that most of the European countries were ruled by kings, queens, monarchs, regents, princes, Machiavellian kind of dictatorial emperor, you know, that kind of thing. Because back then, if the king said you were guilty, you were guilty, that was it. We don't have that system. I digress. In any event, from the state police investigated Vance. Apparently, they seized his computer at one point to look for emails and things like that. Can you imagine the horror of that? Having your computer taken away? They gave it back to him after a month or something, but he was without a computer for a month. That today, in this day, that seems to be even worse than being without a car or a telephone for a month. I mean, it's worse than being without a car. This is very bad. In any event, there were no criminal charges filed against him. The Delaware State Attorney General's office, which is headed up, the state attorney general is this dude whose name is Beau Biden, and whose father is the vice president of the United States. He did not bring charges against Vance Phillips. The girl, and I know her name, but, you know, I've got to be honest with you, there is just no point in repeating it. She has now filed a lawsuit against Vance Phillips. From what I have been told, this is a civil lawsuit, okay? From what I have been told by quite a few people who are in the know, during depositions prior to this lawsuit, Vance was asked questions by the plaintiff's counsel, and apparently 37 times he pled the Fifth Amendment, which he has every right to do. All right? Just because a person is not forthcoming or is not detailed in their description of something of which they were accused does not mean that they are guilty in this country under the Fifth Amendment of the United States Constitution. No one can be compelled to give testimony against themselves. That's all there is to it. That has been extended to a what's known as the spousal privilege as well. Your wife or your husband cannot be compelled to testify against you either. And I think that that is a good thing. In any event, the Sussex Republican Committee has a group of about 12, 13 people that is called the Advisory Board. And the advisory board, about a month ago, offered two resolutions. One, asking the chairman of the Sussex Republicans to ascertain the level of support that Councilman Phillips was receiving from other elected Republican officials in the county. The second resolution, which came out on the same day, said that the advisory board would not endorse or support Councilman Phillips' candidacy if he decides to run for re-election. On Channel 16 today, he said that he was going to run for re-election. In any event, last night, fairly late, I got a phone call from a Republican that I know who operates a blog site, telling me that he had obtained a copy of an email from the chairman of the committee to Vance Phillips, calling into question Vance's judgment on a few things, such as sending flowers to the grandfather of the 18 or 19-year-old girl in question. When he was in the hospital recently, his family didn't care for that at all. I can understand that, I think. And advising Vance that he should very seriously consider whether he wants to run for re-election for a fifth term. as an aside, five terms, that is too much. Frankly, I think that two terms is too much. Now then, back to that in a moment, but I do want to let you know that, as you're aware, we at conservativenationmedia.com are growing. We couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show, which we have done. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and his veteran's love of America to American by Design Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, right here on conservativenationmedia.com. So stay with us 7 days a week. Actually, well, six days a week. At the moment, we don't have a person on Friday. If you are listening and you're a conservative and you would like to speak with me about doing a show here on Fridays, we may have one coming very soon with an individual who is known cryptically only as The Major. I think you're going to like it, but you can send me an email, duke@conservativenationmedia.com. So stick with us. We are making big changes, and we are just getting started. Listen to American by Design with Bing Fisher Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Now, back to As the County Council Turns. In any event, I did get a call from someone, not a member of our committee, but a Republican who lives in the county anyway, and who operates a blog site, that he had obtained a copy of the email from the chairman of the committee to Councilman Phillips, suggesting that he reconsider his plans to run for a fifth term. And since I am the spokesman for the committee, this person asked me for comment. I spoke with the chairman, discussed a statement, and sent in to that person so that they could include it in their blog piece, a statement. The blog piece not only included a lot of editorializing from a guy who calls himself a Republican, but I think is nothing but really a bomb thrower, but the issue was that it included the private email addresses of a whole bunch of people. I mean, this was not journalism. This was just a drive-by attack, is all that it was. And the individual that did the editorializing is a member of the executive committee. My own personal opinion is that this individual should be removed from the executive committee and should be banned from attending our committee's meetings in the future. Because if you are a member of an organization and you receive internal communication and you then decide and take it upon yourself that you are going to simply divulge this communication with the outside world, that is not being a whistleblower. That is just being a bomb thrower. Anyway, we are about 18 minutes after the hour. Going to take a quick break here. A little bit of Civil War history is coming up. We will certainly talk about the Nevada situation with the rancher out there who was surrounded by a couple of hundred federal agents. Apparently a whole bunch of people have showed up. Apparently the federal agents are a bunch of jerks. But hey, what else is new? Stay right where you are.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
As I went through school, one giant question loomed over me. What did I want to be? But in order to know what I wanted to be, I had to first decide what I wanted to make. I wanted to make more. So I became a teacher. Now I make learning a privilege, not a chore, and frustration a tool, not an obstacle. I make working hard seem easy, and giving up impossible. I make an old subject feel like a fresh thought, and unconventional methods common. I make material things less important,
and little things like patience and kindness count. I make weekdays more exciting than weekends, and classrooms feel like anything but. I make things different, which is all I ever hoped for. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Hi, this is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com.
Well, by now, you certainly know that that music, the Ashokan Farewell by Jay Unger from the Ken Burns PBS movie called The Civil War from around 1989, 1990, something like that. That means it's time for us to take a look at this day in Civil War history. And this is from, we're at the 150th anniversary of the Civil War, which without question is one of the most important armed conflicts and one of the most historically significant in the history of the modern world. This is from the Civil War Day by Day, an Almanac by E.B. Long and Barbara Long. April 9th was a Saturday in 1864, 150 years ago today, the engagement of Pleasant Hill, Louisiana. General Banks' Federals, beaten at Sabine Crossroads on the 8th of April, drew up in line of battle near Pleasant Hill, Louisiana, expecting another attack from Confederates under General Taylor. At first, the skirmishing was light, but late in the afternoon, the Confederates made their main drive, gaining some ground and pushing the Federals back on their reserve. A countercharge worked, and the Federals in turn drove the Confederates back, ending the engagement, tactically a northern victory. The Union, out of about 12,000 engaged, lost 150 killed, 844 wounded, and 375 missing, for a total of about 1,369 casualties. For the Confederates, around 12,500 were engaged, with killed and wounded put at 1,200, and 436 missing. The Confederates, Trans-Mississippi Commander General E. Kirby Smith, arrived late at night. To the north, the Federals under General Steele stalled in their advance through Arkansas, skirmished until the 12th on Prairie Dane, a part of the Camden Expedition. Nathan Bedford Forrest, still operating dangerously close to the Federal communications in western Tennessee, skirmished near Raleigh. General U.S. Grant issued campaign orders. Meade and the Army of the Potomac would make Lee's army the objective. Wherever Lee goes, there you will go also. A famous communication from General U.S. Grant. A Confederate torpedo boat Squibb damaged the USS Minnesota off Newport News, Virginia, by exploding a torpedo and escaping. Heavy spring rains fell on Northern Virginia, washing out or damaging a number of bridges. The USS Minnesota figured very prominently in the Battle of Hampton Roads, which was March 9th, 1862. That is also known as the battle between the Monitor and the Merrimack. The Minnesota, the Cumberland, and the Congress were three Union warships blockading the area at the very southern end of the Chesapeake Bay. That is called Hampton Roads, and the Merrimack, where the CSS Virginia came out to try to break that blockade. I believe that the Virginia sank the Cumberland, sank the Congress, was going to go after the Minnesota. It got dark, but late that night, the Monitor arrived and saved the Minnesota on March 9th. Anyway, we have Firefox News Online now joining us. Sir, you and I have communicated on Facebook, I think, but I don't think that we've ever spoken. What is your name, sir?
My name is George, by the way.
Yes, and, yes. Okay, George, how are you?
I'm doing just fine, Duke. And I'll tell you something. It's nice to be able to be on your show. We have communicated on Facebook on occasion, and I find it relaxing to be able to, because I host my own show here on BTR, but it's nice to go to other shows and frequent them as well, and that's why I'm here tonight.
Well, thank you for doing so.
I noticed something in your description, sir, that caught my eye, and it has to do with the contempt of Congress charge that they are looking to slap on Lois Lerner. There is a problem with that. There is a small problem with that.
Okay.
If the Department of Justice, the head of the Department of Justice, Eric Holder, decides he's not going to follow through with it, there's nothing the Congress can really do to force the issue. That's the sad reality. And
well, George, I am pretty sure that if the Speaker of the House orders the Capitol Police to take a person into custody, I believe that the Capitol Police will do so. What do you think?
Well, the Capitol Police certainly can take her into custody. No, I'm not saying that they wouldn't do that. But Eric Holder could very easily decide not to pursue the charges. Which is something that's been bandied about the last couple of days.
Well, would that put Eric Holder in contempt of Congress? He already is.
Yeah,
but,
it would certainly do that, yes. Oh, absolutely. See, the problem that most people haven't really wrapped their minds around is the fact that a contempt of Congress charge oftentimes does not lead to any jail time. There have been other cases of contempt of Congress that did not lead to jail time.
Right, right, right. Of course, the other thing is, it seems to largely depend upon which party controls the Congress and whether media thinks what they're doing is good or thinks that it is not good. And in the days of Watergate, the media and the Democrat-controlled House and Senate both wanted to see President Nixon literally strung up.
Their
contempt for him is just unbelievable. But now we have Obama, and the fact of the matter is, as far as the media is concerned, he is their guy. They are his base. And no matter what the Congress does, the media is going to spin it as racist, right-wing, reactionary, Nazi, fascist, goose-stepping, and all that kind of stuff. And Eric Holder, just going to laugh all the way to a $5 million a year job as a lawyer at some firm in Washington, D.C., and that's what the deal's going to be.
Now, the one thing, though, that I will say is that if in fact, the contempt of Congress charge does get put on upon her, and she is actually arrested, and Eric Holder does his job correctly, the only question that comes to mind is, why did they wait so long to even consider this in the first place? She, last year, she pleaded the fifth, which, and I heard what you said, by the way, about pleading the fifth, and I agree with you 100% on that, by the way. Just because a person pleads the fifth does not mean that they are guilty.
But that's right.
In the case of Lois Lerner, unfortunately, her actions spoke louder than words. She started to make a statement last year, if you remember correctly.
That's right.
She made the statement.
Absolutely.
Then she pleaded the fifth. Kind of strange.
You're not supposed to do that. Now,
you're not supposed to do that, but they let her get away with it.
Yeah. Now, under the U.S. Constitution, it doesn't say anything about you lose your rights under the Fifth Amendment if you say anything more than your name. You know, it doesn't say that in the Constitution. There are a lot of things that the Constitution does not say that modern courts have kind of written into it on their own. Which,
yeah,
I think is a bad thing, you know?
So, you ain't going to get any argument out of me on that one, sir. Believe me. See, my concern is that they waited too long for the contempt of Congress charge. They waited too long.
I suspect that one of the reasons that they did is that no doubt their staffs are assiduously researching, getting opinions from staff counsel, looking at precedent, studying the regulations and the laws of how the IRS is supposed to, you know, they want to make sure that they don't come upon a gotcha moment when someone says, oh, but that's not what it says in Title 18 of the U.S. Code, Section blah, blah, blah. And they don't want to have egg on their face and be positioned that way. So the other reason that I think they are delaying it is they wanted these hearings to go into 2014, which is an election year. And as the election gets closer and closer, people will become more and more aware of how the Obama administration has weaponized the Internal Revenue Service and the Department of Justice. And I hope that the American people are going to say, wait a minute, they're not supposed to do that. You know, our current congressman is on Lois Lerner's side. And if the liberals can weaponize the IRS against conservatives, one day conservatives can weaponize it against liberals. And, you know, I hope that this is what Chairman Issa's strategy is. What do you think?
Well, I think that the possibility of Issa planning this as his strategy, it certainly would be interesting to see it, that it works. And I suspect it may work. And there's that big two-letter word, and this is where I play the devil's advocate on these issues. If he can rally enough support in the conservative base, the problem is there are some conservatives who are starting to get a little wishy-washy, and that saddens me. It really does. But I think
conservatives. I think that there are Republicans that are getting kind of spineless, but all the conservatives, the actual conservatives that I know, are basically saying, hey, let's string up Koskinen, Lois Lerner, Holder, and let's get Obama out of there. Sadly, it does take a two-thirds majority of the Senate to convict a person under impeachment, and, you know, we're not going to get a two-thirds majority in November. If we pick up four seats, then we would have a majority of one or two, and that is enough to basically marginalize the president, make it clear to him that none of his initiatives will see the light of day, you know, that sort of thing, and they'll have to Maybe they can override some vetoes. Maybe. That would be wonderful. I would love to see that. Let me ask you this. Say again.
I said you and me both, sir.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. What do you know about this situation in Nevada with the guy trying to graze his cattle and the federal government coming in and surrounding his ranch, and they have erected something called a First Amendment zone out there? It's pretty unbelievable. What have you heard?
I've heard basically just about everything that you probably have heard thus far, and I find it disgusting. I truly find it disgusting that they are treating this man with such disrespect. The man is just trying to graze his cattle. I mean, come on, it's a no-brainer. And to put up a sign that makes it a First Amendment zone. Are they trying to correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds to me like they're trying to squash the First Amendment. They're trying to squash the right of the press, which is the same thing that Senators Schumer, Feinstein, and several others are introducing in that bill that they want to put out for the federal shield law. So these federal agents, these federal officers, first of all, their actions are completely illegal. You cannot stop a man from grazing his cattle. I mean, first of all, the property is his, is it not?
I don't know the facts. I read somewhere that this involves 600,000 acres of grazing land. I don't know if there's one person that owns 600,000 acres of land in Nevada. I just don't know. I don't know what the facts are. But I do know
Wayne
this.
Newton.
Oh, does he?
I'm just saying, unless it's Wayne Newton that owns that kind of sizable property. But, you know, I mean, he'd be the only one that could afford it.
Yeah. Well,
he's got his cattle on grazing land. Okay, 9 times out of 10, anyone who is grazing cattle, and if you've ever been to cattle farms, and I've been to at least one or two in my life, when you bring that cattle to grazing land, nobody ever questions it. Nobody ever bothers you over it. They just let you bring your cattle in, graze, and and do what they got to do, and everybody's happy because what's he supposed to do? Let them starve? I don't think so. The federal government has a nasty propensity for doing the stupidest things.
And yeah, look who they hire, right? You know,
you
I mean,
say that again.
And on top of that, is the fact that there are laws that protect federal government employees no matter what they do, no matter how bad they screw up, they are still going to get a paycheck. And there is nothing in the world that will stop it. And until those laws are changed, and until federal government bureaucrats have an actual serious incentive, like everybody that works for a private company has, that will not change. And the Congress can kind of nip and smack the IRS here and there. They do that about once every 20 years or so. They try to, bring the IRS it's normally like a public relations move. I think that they did this in the 1990s at some point, changed a few things about how the IRS could operate and what taxpayers did and did not have to do anymore and that sort of thing. And that's probably about the extent of this, because let's remember, even though the voters, the electorate in a congressional district is who gives the congressman his job, those people are not actually the congressman's constituents. The congressman's real constituents are the federal government bureaucrats in Washington, D.C., that can go in there and see him any time they want to. They don't need an appointment. They can just show up at the congressman's office and say, I'm with the office of the acting chief, deputy assistant, staff administrative undersecretary to the assistant deputy director of the division of the bureau, the blah, blah, blah. And I understand that you're thinking about reducing the rate of growth of our budget next year. Let me tell you all the reasons why that would be a very, very bad idea. And I guarantee you the congressman has all the time in the world, or the senator has all the time in the world for a federal government bureaucrat. But if you are from the senator's state or from the congressman's district and he doesn't know you and you're just a regular voting taxpaying citizen, you don't matter to him. You don't matter to him at all. And I think everybody understands that. You know, you do too, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Let me tell you something. I've run into brick walls trying to talk to my senators and congressmen. Okay, the people who represent me in the Senate and the Congress don't have – the most I ever get is their when I call their office in Washington – the most I get is an aide saying, well, I'm sorry, they're not available at this time. Would you like to leave a message? And I'm like, no, I would not like to leave a message. I would like to speak to my representative. And I think it's, I think as a constituent, it would be considered quite kind if the congressman or senator would take the time to sit down and actually talk to one of his constituents, especially when they're calling with an issue that needs to be dealt with. And by the way, I want to correct your other listener in the chat room. My name is not Doug Hagman, by the way. My name is George Sinzer, not Doug Hagman. There's a big difference.
Right. Okay. I don't know who Doug Hagman is. What state do you live in, George?
I live in New York, actually. I'm right in New York.
All right, so Chuck Schumer and Kristen Gillibrand, those are your senators?
Well, unfortunately, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sad reality. I don't
and
like
what,
them personally.
What part of New York State do you live in?
I live in Dutchess County.
Which is on the Hudson River, north of Poughkeepsie, right?
That's where I am, Poughkeepsie.
Okay, all right, very fine, very fine. I've been to Poughkeepsie, I've been to Peekskill, I've been to Newburgh.
That's my hometown, by the way.
I used to live in Albany. Huh?
Peekskill's my hometown.
Say again. Oh, is it really?
Yes, it is. I was born in Valhalla, New York, and raised in Peekskill. I'm a volunteer fireman with the city of Peekskill. 31 years.
Ah. Well, all right, what was the... There was the mayor of Peekskill in 84-85, a black guy named Richie something or other.
Richard Jackson. He was a high school teacher.
But he called his own city Peekskill. He could not correctly pronounce the name of the city of which he himself was mayor. I don't know if that made him a good mayor or a bad mayor. I really don't know. But,
I knew Richard Jackson personally. In fact, I also know George Pataki, the former governor of the state,
mm-hmm.
who was also from Peekskill originally. Mm-hmm. I knew George's parents as a child growing up. I used to go with my parents to his parents' farm. His father used to give me an apple once in a while whenever I went up there. And they're really wonderful people. But Richard Jackson, yeah, he had a problem pronouncing the town's name. I mean, Peekskill is not that hard.
No, it's not. No.
But he had a problem.
From what I understand,
and he was a high school teacher in Peekskill as well. So
yeah,
really
from what I understand, there is only one city in the entire United States named Poughkeepsie.
Well, actually, there are two locations in Dutchess County called Poughkeepsie. There's the city of Poughkeepsie.
Oh, really?
And the town of Poughkeepsie.
Mm, Well, you know, it's a very interesting area. What is the do you remember a lady on the one of the radio stations in either Peekskill or Poughkeepsie named Janelle Tubner? Do you remember
her
from
she was with WLNA, WHUD for a while?
Yep. That's right. That's right. LNA and HUD. Yes, yeah, she was my girlfriend, and I was operating a helicopter traffic network in Albany, and I used to fly my helicopter down the Hudson on weekends and to see her. But sadly, the only airport at that time that was anywhere near either one of those towns was Newburgh. And it would take an hour to drive from Newburgh to Peekskill. You know, it was just a real big pain, you know?
See, when I was growing up, I ventured to Radio Terrace, where WLNA and WHUD, respectively, were originally located. I met Steve
yep.
Patrone, the station manager there. I knew, in fact, Jerry Desmond, who was a radio personality with WLNA and WHUD, his wife was on the same altar guild as my mother.
Okay. Those are small communities. You know, if you live in a small community and you grow up there, you will know everybody. You know, people often say to me, why are you living in coastal rural Delaware? Well, I've lived on the peninsula now, off and on, since 1974, and I know everybody, you know?
I know the feeling. Believe me, I do.
Yeah, I went in the spring of 1985 with Janelle to a tribute concert for Aaron Copland, and it was either in Poughkeepsie or Peekskill. Aaron Copland was from that area, and
I believe
we had a nice
that was held in Poughkeepsie.
Okay, all right.
And
we had a nice
it was
dinner
beforehand.
Yeah, yep. We had a wonderful dinner, and then went to this concert where, you know, quite a few of his famous works were performed, such as Fanfare for the Common Man, Appalachian Spring. You know, he was quite a composer. He was a very nice old guy. We met him and spoke with him for a while, you know, liked him. But I understand that he was a real commie.
I didn't know much about him, but I've heard some tall tales, over the, back in the 80s. One of which, of course, was that he was a communist.
Yeah.
One person actually identified him as a deep-hearted socialist.
Whatever that means.
I found that rather interesting, considering I didn't know anything about at that time. I didn't know anything about socialism. Back in the 80s,
well,
I was still in my early 20s.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that means that he had emotional attractions to the ideas of socialism and Marxism, but once he started making money, all of a sudden, those ideas probably went away, as they very often do in the case of bright, idealistic, quote, humanitarian, unquote, young people. Who have this ridiculous idea, and how they get this in their thick little skulls, I have no idea, but the notion that the central defining job of government is to make everything and everyone equal, and then when they come up with a computer program, or they join a rock and roll band, or they get a $10 million 3-year contract in the NBA, all of a sudden they are just not all that interested in those ideas anymore. Maybe that's what is meant by Aaron Copland being a departed socialist. Of course, he is completely departed now. He's dead. but a lot of his works remain, and he was a very, very good composer. George, tell everyone where Firefox News Online can be found.
All right, Firefox News Online, I'm doing good today. I'm tongue-tied. Let me try that again. Rewind.
Well, it's buzzing yet.
Firefox News Online can be found on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific by going to blogtalkradio.com/Firefox News-Online. And, of course, all are welcome. It's a news and topic discussion program that
commies?
You just have to catch. And, yes, the host
okay.
is a little wacky.
All right.
I know him personally.
Well, that's just fine. You know, most of us in radio are to one extent or another. George, thank you for being with us tonight, and I look forward to joining you one day very soon on your program.
I look forward to it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, George. Have a great night, sir, and thanks very much for calling in. All righty, we've got about 9 minutes left in this episode of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Let's see, as of right now, the Baltimore Orioles are in the cellar of the American League East with a 3-5 record. They did beat the daylights out of the Yankees yesterday, 14-5, which is wonderful. I love the New York Yankees lose. In the top of the ninth at Yankee Stadium, New Yankee Stadium in New York right now. Let's see, the Orioles are at bat. The Orioles have a man on second. There are two strikes, no outs, no balls, two strikes, nobody out, one man on, and they are tied 3-3. Orioles have 9 hits. The Yankees have 8. The Yankees have had an error charged against them. I sincerely hope that the Orioles are able to get 2 runs, maybe more, out of this inning. Nobody is out so far, and they've got a man on second. So maybe the Orioles will win this game as well. Now they have hit a single. I'm watching this online. I'm not watching the game. Nick Marcakis and Young are next up at bat. Jonathan Shoup, third baseman with a 207 average, is now at bat. And right now the Orioles have runners at the corners. Man on first and a man on third. I just love this when the Orioles are doing very, very well. And I can't watch the game anymore, can't give you any more play-by-play, and he struck him. You know, I just don't know about enough about baseball in order to do that. All right, Nick Markakis, right fielder, with a 237 average, is now at bat. So, I don't know, I better leave this because if I spend too much time watching the Orioles, they will lose. I am a jinx. I guarantee it. I am an absolute jinx when it comes to these games. If I watch my team, if I pay attention to my favorite team, it's kind of like the Syracuse University basketball team this year. 25-0 was their start this year in the NCAA. All right, now, to be honest with you, I couldn't care less about basketball at any level. The sport just does not interest me at all in any way. It just doesn't. And as a result, I didn't pay any attention. I was then alerted to the fact that the Syracuse University Orange Men were 25-0, and I started paying attention. They began losing games, and that was the end of that. So that's why I am just very, very afraid that the Orioles are now going to lose that game, which would be a nightmare, one of the worst nightmares that could possibly happen. except for the idea of being a victim of identity theft. That is a real nightmare. And if it happens to you, which I hope it doesn't, unless you're a commie, it could take months or even longer to recover from it, if you do recover at all. A lot of people never do, so don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself right now in advance. Sign up with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There really is nothing that comes close to LifeLock. So to protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off of their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. The network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. Then click on the LifeLock banner. You will be very glad that you did. It will give you some peace of mind. Anyway, a quick break, then coming back, so you stay right where you are.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. Every child deserves to have access to books because children who grow up with books invariably do better in life than children who do not. How do I choose a book? Is it the cover? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual, so it's a combination of those two. The first book I remember was Captain's Courageous. When I finished that book, I had become so involved with these characters. So here's the thing. If a book's really, really impressing me and the writing is really, really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is. Because the endings of books, if it's really, really well done, that ending, that last thought should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Hey, sweetie, what's going on?
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay, what?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do you start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change? You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Well, very well. Thanks very much for being along tonight. I was going to read some of the information about this cattle rancher standoff going on in Nevada, apparently as we speak, but the only thing I was able to find is from Alex Jones, and, you know, I've got to be honest with you, I think Alex Jones is kind of like out of his mind. Anyway, I hope that you have a wonderful weekend, a great week. It's pretty clear that, at least in the middle latitudes of this country, the spring is here, and that is a good thing. We started off this episode of Radio Free America with Back in New York City by Genesis, and we're going to end it with The Only Living Boy in New York by Simon and Garfunkel. Thanks a lot for being along. Have a great night.